Good morning. Good to see everybody here this morning. We're certainly glad that you're with us today, and we're thankful for everyone's presence. The passage that was just read for us in Genesis chapter 18, verses 17 through 19, we find within the context that God is about to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, and he comes to Abraham to tell him about this. He does so, the Bible says, because God has great respect for Abraham. The Bible tells us that Abraham was called the friend of God, James chapter 2 and verse 23. And in the text that we've just read this morning, Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19, it says that God knew Abraham. And God commends Abraham for his faithfulness to and in his family. By giving us this great example in the Scriptures, God sets Abraham before us as a figure to be followed, as a figure to be imitated within our lives. Today is what the world refers to as Father's Day. And we certainly wish all the fathers out there happy Father's Day today. And so I thought we'd study a little bit about what it means to be a good father. Abraham was a good father, as we see from the scripture that we just read here in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19. He was a good father because he was present. He was there for his family. Also because he was protective. He did what he needed to do in order to protect the family. And then finally, because he was providing. And I thought we'd look at these three things this morning as we think about the good father. Abraham was a good father because he was present. You know, there are many fathers today who are not so. Some pursue worldly careers to the point that they hardly ever get to see their families. Some, unfortunately, pursue extramarital affairs, cutting themselves off from their families. And then there are others who simply abandon their families. These fathers are not good fathers at all, we recognize. Because they are not present. In order to be a good father, one must be first and foremost present for one's family. But Abraham never did any of these things. In fact, Abraham was present for his family. Wherever he went, he took his family with him. He left, you know, out of Ur of the Chaldees and went over to the land of Canaan. Then at another time, he went down into Egypt and he came back up. But everywhere he went, his family went with him. A good father is present for his family. When we look at the examples of Noah, Isaac, Jacob, David, Solomon, Zacharias, and many others, while they had their faults, and we're certainly not trying to overlook their faults, they were present. And that is, first and foremost, the number one thing that a father needs to be for his family. He needs to be there, to be present. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, a verse that we're going to look at throughout our study this morning and different aspects of it. Paul would write, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." In order for fathers to obey this verse, they must indeed be present. And so we understand that a good father is a father who is present. Let us also consider that God, the Father, is our good Father, and that he promises to be present for his family as well. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 6, Paul writes, "Yet to us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we unto him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and we through him." In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 6, we read, "One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." It is a reality that God the Father is, in fact, present. He is over all and in all and through all, and he is here this very morning. But then as we continue to look at what a good father is, we notice, secondly, that a good father is protective. Protective. Again, we find in today's world that many fathers are not protective of their families, but in fact a threat. Some threaten their families simply by not guiding and instructing and teaching, by simply allowing their children to do anything they want, to take any course in life they desire. And in so doing, they end up not protecting their children from the things that are in this world. The father who gives no warning to his child, who gives no instruction to his child, is failing to protect his child. And some fail to protect their children in this way. Some fail to care for their children in providing the basic necessities. All of us in life need the basics, and we need to be provided for. We need food and clothing and shelter, and children simply are not able to provide those things for themselves. And so fathers have this responsibility in being the head of the family. They have the responsibility to provide these basic necessities. But some fail to do this. And in that regard, they fail to protect their family from hunger, from the cold, from the heat, and from these other things that they would fail to protect them from in not providing these things. Some, however, abuse their children physically, harming them instead of protecting them. Now, we're certainly not talking about corporal punishment. There is a certain time and place for that, and it ought to be done in a certain way, in a way that is loving, in a way that is instructive. No, we're not talking about that at all. We're talking about abusive fathers who hit their children and cause bodily harm to their children. Such is not protecting children at all, but hurting them. And that is certainly not the role of a good father. But a father needs to protect. Abraham was a father who indeed protected his family. We recall one instance in which Lot and his family were taken captive by a conquering king, one who came down and conquered the city of Sodom where Lot was living. Well, in Genesis chapter 14, we read about the story of Abraham going and pursuing that king and overtaking him and conquering him and bringing Lot and his family back. Yes, Abraham protected his family. When it was time for Isaac to get a wife, we read Abraham sent his servant back home for a wife to protect him from the influences of the pagan women in the land of Canaan, according to Genesis chapter 24 and verses 4 and following. And so Abraham was protective of Isaac in that he didn't just want anyone to be Isaac's wife. He wanted Isaac to have a wife that was going to help him to remain spiritually true to the Lord. And he protected Isaac's spiritual interests in that regard. Abraham was a father who protected his family. And a good father will seek to protect his family. Again, notice Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The nurture. The Bible says that fathers are to nurture their children. They are to protect them. They are to take care of them. They are to provide for them, as we will see in a moment. But this nurturing certainly doesn't involve harming them. It involves protecting them. A good father will protect his family. Let us also consider that God the Father, our good Father, is also a great protector. Consider, if you would, Psalm chapter 84 and verse 11. For Jehovah God is a sun and a shield. Jehovah will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. God the Father is a protector. He is a sun and a shield to us. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5 says, every word of God is tried. He is a shield unto them that take refuge in Him. If we take refuge in God and we obey the words that He gives to us, then God will be our protector. He will be our guide. He will be our helper. And we will be able to take refuge in Him. And He will be a shield to us. Yes, a good father is a father that protects his own. But then finally this morning, as we think about a good father, we think about a father providing. We see that Abraham was a good father because he was present. He was there for his family, and a good father is going to be present, and God, our Father, is present. We understand that a good father is going to be protective. Abraham was protective of his family. A good father will be protective, and our Father is protective. But then finally, a good father will be a providing father, just as Abraham was providing for his families, for his family. Some fathers fail to be providers. Some work, but then they use their money and they burn up all their money for selfish means. Perhaps they will go and they will spend all their paycheck on drinking or gambling or other such vices which fastly and quickly consume one's income. Such is not a providing father, but a selfish father. Some fail to work at all, not providing anything for their children. They may be present. They may protect them to some degree, but they certainly aren't providing for them, and they certainly are not providing a good example for them to follow in regard to working. Some even rob their children by using them as gain through the welfare systems. These think that the more children they have, the more they'll be able to get from the government, and so their children just become pawns in their schemes to rob the government, and they rob their children as well. Such fathers are not good providers. They have failed to be providers. But we understand the Bible teaches that a good father will be a provider. Abraham was a good provider. Genesis chapter 13 and verse 2 tells us that Abram was rich in cattle and silver and gold. You know, he didn't get those things without having to work for them with great difficulty. We know what the daily, we don't know what the daily life of Abraham was like, but I can imagine living in a tent out in the middle of the land of Canaan that he had to work pretty hard. I know from the times that I've gone camping with my family that from dawn until dusk, you work really hard to make sure that things are taken care of. When you have to cook over a wood fire, or when you have to get up in the morning and make sure that all the animals are there and present and cared for, and overseeing. And Abraham had a lot of cattle and a lot of sheep and goats and rams and things of that nature. And he had people looking over them. He had to oversee those who were overseeing. Yes, there's a lot of work involved. In reading perhaps our modern day equivalent of what Abraham's life was like, going back to the life of George Washington, who had a lot of lands and animals and various different things he had to oversee. He got up early in the morning and would make his rounds on horseback, looking after all the things that he had to tend to each day and made sure that all those things were taken care of. No doubt, Abram had a very similar situation as well. But he maintained this wealth throughout his life. No doubt through hard work and good business practices that he pursued. Abraham was a good provider, and a good father will provide for his children. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 once again tells us that fathers are not to provoke their children to wrath, but to bring them up, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And to provide not only for their physical well-being, but for their spiritual well-being as well. And such is exactly what God commends Abraham for doing in our text from this morning, Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19. He knew, Abraham, that he would instruct his family and his children to do the things which were right in the Lord's sight. Yes, a good father will provide for his children both physically and spiritually. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8 tells us what those types of providers are who fail to provide for their families. If any provide not for his own, and especially of those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. In the book of Proverbs, we find that a good father provides not only physically, but spiritually as well. Time and time again, as we've been studying through the Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 1 through Proverbs chapter 9, we find, my son, listen to the instruction of your father over and over again. The good father provides spiritually. Yes, let us also consider, as we consider a good father and our good heavenly father, that he is our great provider as well. Acts chapter 14 and verse 17 says, "Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good, that is, God did good, and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." And 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17 says that God gives us all things to richly enjoy. He is our provider. He is our sun and shield, our protector. As Psalm 84 and verse 11 says, "No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." Abraham was a good father because he was present, because he was protective, and because he was providing. Let us who are fathers this day follow Abraham's example and also follow the example of God, our Father, in being good fathers for our children and good leaders within our families. This morning, we note finally that a good father is faithful to the Lord. A good father is faithful to the Lord. And a good father recognizes that the Lord comes first within his life. You know, there was a time when God challenged Abraham. He tested him. He said to Abraham, "Take your son, your only son, the son which you love, the son who you love, and sacrifice him to me." The good father, Abraham, that he was, recognized that God always comes first in his life. And he took his son, Isaac, and was going to sacrifice him on that altar. And the Lord told him, "No, don't stop. Now I understand that you are willing to follow me first." More than anything, children today need to see an example of faithfulness in their own fathers. Why are so many losing their way? I'm convinced that one of the reasons is that our fathers simply do not provide the good example that they need to provide in regard to spirituality. One of the studies that I mentioned in the bulletin article this morning is that a research group found that women were more spiritually minded than men. And this is a tragedy, because fathers are the ones who need to set the proper example of faithfulness. And when they do that, God is glorified. Our God is our Father. And he sets the example for fathers within this life. Without that example, many may very well turn their backs on God, because if their fathers act in such and such a way, in such and such a way that is not well to their children, what would they think of our Father who is in heaven? Yes, Hypocrisy is an ugly thing, and it causes many to turn away from God. Let us resolve as fathers that we are going to be faithful to the Lord first, that we're going to seek the kingdom of God first in all the things that we do. And in so doing, we will provide the right example and the good example to our children. This morning, if you need to make some changes in your life, perhaps as a father or a parent or whatever your role may be, then we invite you to do so. We invite you to understand that you have a loving Father in heaven who is concerned about your soul, concerned about your spiritual welfare. He is present. He is protective to those who seek after Him and those who put their trust in Him, and He will provide for you, spiritually speaking. But you must put your trust in Him. You can do so this morning by hearing His Word, believing it, repenting of sins, confessing His Son Jesus as Christ and Lord over your life, and being baptized for the remission of sins. If you need to do this morning, we stand ready to help you. If you are a Christian, but you need to repent of things within your life that you haven't been doing right, and you need to make things right with your Heavenly Father today, then He stands waiting and ready and willing with arms outstretched. He will run to you if you will run to Him. Make the changes you need to make in your life to be right with Him today. While together we stand and sing the song of encouragement.